When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast, and the comeback cardiac Cubs have done it. A 3-1 win over the New York Mets. Cubs 18-11 on the season. Maybe a game we didn't think they were going to win. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo. We're here for at least, roughly about a full hour after the game. Make sure you subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube page. Best way to enjoy the CHGO experience, not to miss out on anything. And shout out to our new diehards today, Chris, Dan, Logan, and Rob. Diehard card is the key to a happy life. Mm-hmm. Also happy to, in my life, fast game, Cubs win. Winning combo. Huh?
No, but like to your point, like, for what, 7+ innings, it was like,
yeah,
wow, this is bad.
For the game, for the 8-0 lead that they blew and took a loss, this is the same type of feeling for the Mets.
Maybe, yeah. Well,
when you're up, you got a no-hitter going into the 8th inning and you lose. Yeah.
You absolutely add this to the "you had no business winning" folder.
That's correct.
I don't care what anyone says.
See, they balance out, don't they?
They had no business winning this ball game. Severino was shoving it down their throats. They couldn't even work counts. Everyone tweeting at me at CHGO Cubs saying this offense stinks, this offense can't hit. What is this lineup? 3-1, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
All I know is that there's something about this team. And this isn't the first time that I've added a game like this to the "you had no business winning" folder. But there's something about this team that they just don't give up. That's like the easiest way to explain it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it was. Leadoff walks in the 8th inning. That's never good when it's a one-run game, as we saw last night. It was a tie game when that happened. But Michael Busch getting the leadoff walk in the 8th inning that led to them tying the game. And then, in the 9th inning, get a base runner on Mike Tauchman again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Morel, who I have been saying for the last week, he is on the brink. He is on the brink of breaking out. And what does he do? Fucking hits one.
First homer in 20 days.
It's still going.
First homer in 20 days.
So, And everyone says we need a closer and all this, and I would agree we definitely need some help in the back end of the bullpen. But even the best ones in the game blow games, right? That was a tie ball game, but Edwin Diaz is considered one of the best closers in the game. He got paid like it, right?
Yeah.
So, this is what I always have to try to tell myself is that what happened to the Mets tonight, like, we always feel like it's just us that it's happening to, but it's happening all across the league. Yeah. Christopher Morel was absolutely due for a hit like that with the way that, in my opinion, he had been swinging the bat the last week.
Yeah.
So it showed up tonight when they needed it the most.
Yeah, I think
couldn't be more excited for him, man.
Obviously a huge swing for him, but the most important Cub today was absolutely Jameson Taillon. Like, no,
sure. Yeah, he was
absolutely no question about it. We talked about it on the pregame show. Like, what do you need to see out of Taillon? Like, I said quality start. I want to see some length, and he gave more than that. You have 7 1/3. Probably could have gone longer. He could have thrown a complete game had Council not gone to the bullpen. Just as far as like his pitch count was low, he was limiting hard contact pretty well. Obviously, it was. What, the third pitch of the game? He gave up that home run.
It was fast. It was real quick.
Third pitch of the game, but after that, it was like he gave up two hits. I don't know. He may have walked one person, but he just had an outstanding performance. And like, this is three starts in now since he came off the IL. Just went, started the year on the IL, came off his third start, and he's looked good and he's gotten better every game. And it just looks like,
yeah.
I understood going into the year, like, people just not trusting in Jameson Taillon because he had such a long stretch where it just wasn't either just – it was either just bad or just not consistent. And he had a better second half, but it wasn't, like, always outstanding, always like this is a guy you trust with the ball, right? There was definitely some rough routing still mixed in there. So I understood the hesitation to like believe in him. But he's come out and three starts in, he's looking pretty good. And obviously the Mets, you know, they were up the whole game. They were up 1-0 after the first home run, but he limited them too. As much as
they didn't even have opportunities really to do anything.
As much as Severino limited the Cubs, obviously, to one walk for a while, like J-Mo limited the Mets to the one home run or maybe another hit or two mixed in there, but limited them and kept them from adding on to that lead. It was
huge.
There
were a few batted balls that the Mets hit pretty hard, but just to the wrong part of the park. And it's like
a bunch of those went to PCA, who we know can cover a lot of ground.
It's one of those like that's baseball things, and you know everyone in our YouTube chat or on Twitter or wherever are always complaining about guys not hitting, and sometimes guys are hitting. It's just they're not getting the luck factor of it finding a spot where there's not an outfielder. And this is not to take anything away from Jameson Taillon at all, but there were a few there between that fifth and seventh inning where I was like, damn, this guy got lucky that. You know, he hit it to this part of the park or this part. And sometimes you need that, especially the fact that he had one strikeout. So, but with that said, he did get a ton of soft contact. Because after he gave up the homer to Nimmo, he got weak ground balls hit right back to him. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like after he gave up the home run to Nimmo that, and then those things proceeded to play out, you felt like, okay, maybe he's locking in here. And then he really did. As good as Severino was, Taillon was right there in terms of inducing what pitchers are supposed to do when you do give up contact. And a lot of ground balls, and he was just really efficient, going as deep as he did.
78 pitches through 7 1/3.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the pros whenever you don't get a lot of strikeouts, right? But with the chaos and stupidity of baseball, sometimes things just don't work out your way, right? Again, not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying, like, how many times have we seen a lot of those balls not go the Cubs' way as well, you know? Yeah. The ball that O'Neill hit last night that was not hit hard at all, and, you know, he put it in the right spot, you know? Again, one strikeout. There, a lot of those could have gone against Taillon tonight, but they didn't, and the defense showed up tonight too. So, you know, to me, it's a full team effort. But Taillon also gave you the length that you absolutely needed tonight.
He kept them in the ballgame. Had he not, had he given up a few more runs, and you really feel like this one's kind of over. He kept them right there, down one run, and as the Cubs, you know, bats were just silent for most of the game. Like it was him going out there and getting them back up to the plate. Right, a bunch of 1-2-3 innings or whatever. 82.1 mile per hour average exit velo. Obviously really good. Only had 3 whiffs on 40 swings, 8% whiff rate, which isn't great, but and he only had the 1 strikeout, but when you're getting softer contact, getting it on the ground, like you're going to take that trade off. But he also had 17 called strikes. So that called strike whiff percentage of pitches definitely raised it up. So it was again, just a really really good performance from Taillon today, again, at a time where the Cubs just need it. They need it from everyone, but especially Taillon, who, you know, you're going into this year hoping he's at least your a strong number three, if not your number two in the rotation.
He even impressed the godfather of the CHGO podcast, Michael Collado, who said, yes, the pitcher we thought we were getting.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll talk more Taillon coming up in the next segment, because he was that good tonight, and he has been that good this season, but I'm going to guess that Cody's beer bat chug might be for Mr. Morrell, and I've seen a lot of different people trying to guess at how long it's going to take you for this Blue Moon beer bat chug. I've seen some crazy. Godfather's calling 10-6. Did I see somebody say, I believe, Cody, 2.7?
God, I wish I could just do that.
Somebody say, here, maybe 4.2 seconds? Jack's calling 4 seconds. Maybe Wrigley Mad, 2.7, I believe in you, Cody.
Yeah. Some people
might be let down.
Some people reading what I said about, like, you know, the luckiness and dumbness of baseball. I'm not taking anything away from Taillon. He was great. They needed the length, and he did. He was efficient. I'm just saying, when you only get one strikeout, you need some luck to go your way. I think that's fair to say. All right.
It's not even just luck, right? Not luck in the sense of like you got lucky. It's just luck. You know, like the guy put the ball in the play, and the guy put the ball in play, but it didn't land. It didn't find grass. Like that's luck.
We talk about how the Cubs defense is supposed to be one of the best in the league, right? Cubs defense was great tonight. Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, And wasn't it didn't end up hurting the Cubs, but that ball to Morrell,
that Bush didn't catch or pick or whatever,
but it didn't hurt them. And you know, it's been a ride with them. We have to give them time, you know. So anyway, I'm not trying.
Well, it's coming up here, 10-4 according to John Everett's calling 10-1. I saw Kevin Wells jumped in with an 11-something.
Do we Professor 9.3?
Do we have what's your prediction?
Well, now Sarah, we need to keep in mind that 10.25 is the cutoff for a quality chug.
Okay. Yes.
And you're the official timer. According so it's all up to you. When you see that beer hit his lips, Sarah starts the timer.
I'm going to try my best.
As soon as that last swallow
of beer goes down, the blue moon smoothly goes down, bam, it's off. Wrigley Man's now saying 8.42. What happened to the 2.7?
Doesn't believe in him.
I want to give the
Eric
bat
35.
I want to dedicate the beer bat to Tyone, but I can't not do it to Morrell because he's been getting a lot of slander. There's a reason I took it for who you got tonight. All right, the guy was absolutely due, and he showed up when you absolutely needed. He needed someone to step up with Belly and Seiya out. You did, like, at the end of the day, you have to score runs to win baseball games. All right,
yeah, that's how you win baseball games.
And he did it when you absolutely needed it. The guy deserves a ton of credit, all right? Anyway.
Here it goes.
So it's
here
to
goes.
Morrell.
Cody Delmendo. And begin. Sarah's got the timer on. Is he going to go quick? Now, remember, we don't
like
want to
pace.
Don't tip it too fast. That's when you get the tidal wave of Blue Moon coming in, and then you got trouble, and Ryan's got beer in his face. And, wow, that was quick.
It was 11.07. I'll have to look back.
I got 10.92. Herb had 11.49.
Let me look back.
There.
11. I got like 11 point, what was it, 4.7 or something.
Okay, so right around 11.
So maybe not a quality chug, but a near quality chug.
A near quality.
Near quality.
Just like this was a near no-hitter, but it wasn't a no-hitter.
Actually, I don't know if Gary, that was his guess, or if that was his, he recorded it, but it's pretty
11.32. Gary called 11.32.
I thought
it seemed fast. It felt like only 7 seconds of my life.
Well, it's that middle part. I like your clock. Your clock was significantly slower.
My mental clock. My mental clock was like, wow, that had to be like 7 seconds long. That was very fast.
Yeah.
No.
Well, anyway, we're gonna get.
Tim says under ten.
We're gonna have a random 8 or 7 second one eventually. Let's just remember, it used to be really bad.
That was equal to 5 1/3 innings, says Cody Burton.
5 1/3 innings and like 3 runs. Not quite a quality start.
I looked back and got the official time.
Yeah.
It was 11.
I kept the team in the game, brother.
11.64?
Yep.
11.64 is official time.
I kept the team in the game.
Okay.
I'm a solid number 3 starter, bro.
It's under 12. You only have one that's not under 12. You had one rough start. We throw that one out.
Yeah.
The rest have been under 12. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with the Morrell thing. We said that going into it. Like, they desperately need the power from him with those two guys gone.
Or just any kind of production at all. I mean,
no, they need the power. Like, they,
for sure.
They just don't have a home run hitting team anyway. They don't have.
Well, with Seiya and Bellinger
out. With those guys out, they really don't.
Well, it's like we said.
Bush has quieted down with the home runs, and it's like.
He's going through an adjustment
period.
Morrell's
got to be that guy.
Morrell hadn't hit a home run, we said, since April 9th. 20
yeah.
days. It's been almost 3 weeks since he actually got one. You know,
I like what Godfather said. Maybe it's because Sarah's the producer.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
There you go.
Could have been the donuts.
Yeah, it could have been the donuts. Luke bought donuts. And they won. So I don't know. I mean, it's the Morrell thing. The only reason that I'd been really like, you know, feeling like things were turning around is I just don't feel like he was striking out a ton. Now, he struck out 3 times yesterday. But overall, I've been putting the ball in play.
We got to clip that one off. He just hasn't been striking out. I mean, he struck out 3 times yesterday.
One game, Luke. His K rate is still well below league average.
It was the juxtaposition of you saying it the second.
I'm just saying, though, like, it's significantly lower than what it was last year.
I think it's like closer to 20%. It's definitely under 21%, which I looked in, like, even in minor league ball. He wasn't hitting 21%, or was striking out less than 21%.
We're the safest skydiving school in the world. We haven't had any deaths except for the 4 last week.
So, maybe I didn't word it great.
Well,
all right.
So the home run, like I said, April 9th. So I'm just looking back from starting with the game after his last home run, April 10th. So that's 16 games from April 10th to April 28th. No home runs, 2 doubles, He was hitting 123, had a 227 on base percentage, and a 158 slugging. So the power wasn't there. He wasn't hitting for a ton of power. He wasn't wasn't getting hits, right?
Right.
But like you said, he wasn't striking out a lot, and that was huge. And that's when you look at what his slumps had been previously in the big leagues, it always felt like it was a lot of strikeouts. Yeah. Just strikeouts were starting to pile up and pile up.
To where
up,
you don't even feel like you can put him in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know?
So the fact that he wasn't striking out as much during what is the last two and a half or whatever weeks that was, the fact that he wasn't striking out, not that you were like completely confident that it was just a rough patch, but you're like, okay, he's not seeing the ball well. Like, he's not swinging at everything. He's not just completely throwing away the plate approach that had made him so good for the first week and a half. Like, there's still, yes, he's slumping, but he's obviously still has the plate approach that you need to see, and he's just got to bust out of it. Yeah, he had a better weekend, and obviously today was the home run, so hopefully a sign of things to come for him, right? Like,
and he still was, like he was still walking. I just feel like it hasn't felt like a slump that we saw last year. I feel like
that's the year before.
That's kind of like my point, is that you just felt like he was going to turn it around soon. And I don't feel like I really felt like that in August of last year when he was horrific. You know what I mean? And to me, that's a big deal. That's a sign of a guy developing. That's a sign of a guy growing. It's a sign of a guy getting better. Again, 24 years old. I'm not giving up on this dude. He's not going to hit like he did the first, whatever, 10 to 15 games for an entire 162-game season.
He's probably not going to hit like this either, like the way he was coming into today.
You need, obviously, you need more consistency, I guess. Like, even whenever he's going through his slumps, he can't hit, what, would you say 123 or whatever it was?
Something like that.
You know?
In the 100s.
Right. Like, he can't hit like that. He's still got to find a way to get on base.
Yeah, 123, 385 OPS.
Right. Like, that's awful, right? Like, I get why people were worried and why people were upset. And even I, to a certain standpoint, was frustrated. But I felt like there was some bad ball luck in recent games. I like the fact that you still saw walks. It felt like the turnaround was coming soon. So hopefully that home run tonight, in the biggest moment of the game, starts a nice little stretch. You know what I mean? Because the Cubs desperately need it.
And you throw him 97 over the plate, good chance you're going to get hurt. Super chat from our guy Braggs. We reverse jinxed the Cubs to win in the eighth on Bears After Dark. Credit to us. Mm. Big of us. Big of me to super chat this. Credit to you for reading it. But more importantly, credit to us for reading it.
Yeah, more importantly,
that's credit the most important
us.
Thing.
Credit to Braggs for giving money back to the company that employs him.
Hey, drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing their best offers of the year right now. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you're always able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgate vehicle. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, guys, can pricing get more affordable? Get a free oil change at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake. When you mention us, CHGO, a free oil change, all you need to do is mention those four key letters, CHGO, when scheduling your oil change. Start off the year right. Schedule it by tomorrow, April 30th. Time's running out on you. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
And tonight, if you had Christopher Morel to hit a homer in your Prize Picks entry, you might have made a lot of money if you hit all the rest of the things in your Prize Picks entry. Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America,
the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Spring training is over and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks entry, whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs. Take your pick of more or less and add them to your Prize Picks entry. Yesterday, I made a Prize Picks entry. I had Juan Soto over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Freddie Freeman over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Trey Turner over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And then Josh Naylor. And I'm pretty sure I hit 3 of the 4. I'm pretty sure Trey Turner had a good game. I can't remember. But I stopped looking at it after Josh Naylor just absolutely did nothing yesterday against Bryce Elder, who to me isn't that good. So I came very close. But whenever you do win, I'm telling you, it's a feeling like no other. Okay. Go to prizepicks.com and be smarter than me. And go there. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for first deposit matchup to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy, folks.
That easy.
Beautiful. Hey, guys. Christopher Morrell provided the power for today's game presented by Illinois Pork Producers. Savor the flavor, savor the gains, and celebrate any occasion by enjoying the best pork produced by Illinois pig farmers. Morrell with the go-ahead two-run bomb in the ninth inning off Edwin Diaz. First homer since the 9th of April, and the Cubs go on to win 3-1. But as we were mentioning earlier in this podcast, they could not have done that. They would not have won this game without Jameson Taillon going 7 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 strikeout, 1 walk, 78 pitches, and going toe-to-toe with Luis Severino, who took a no-hitter into the 8th inning. The thing about Taillon is you now have Wicks on the injured list and Hendricks on the injured list, and we'll have an update on Steele on the injured list. And, of course, you had Taillon earlier. But you also have a lot of relievers like Smiley, Merriweather. Like, the list goes on and on. The pitching staff has been decimated by injuries. And they have needed somebody to step up. For him to come back from an injury, missing the first part of the season, and to throw like this, I saw somebody at the very beginning of the chat say, Taillon, number 2 starter. I think it was all in bold print. And that's it. That's exactly what they need him to be. Yeah. You need Steele to come back and be the ace, and you need Taillon to be this guy, and then you need Imanaga to Imanaga continue doing what he's doing and have Assad continue what he's doing, and all of a sudden, when Horton comes up, maybe on June 1st, maybe not, all of a sudden you have a really good rotation going by the middle of the season, hopefully.
No, yeah, I mean, even if it's like, those three. If it's Steele, obviously, I think we still believe he could pitch like he did last year. If Imanaga can at least stay to a level close like this, and Taillon looks more like he's looked the last 3 games, obviously, and in the second half of 2023, I think you're looking at a really strong rotation, at least the top 3 of the rotation. It may not be it may not be the most intimidating rotation. I think, obviously that wouldn't be the Dodgers or anything like that. But you're looking at 3 guys, if they continue to keep it up, that you feel like you can trust in a playoff series at least. So, and that's what we, when the Cubs didn't make the playoffs last year, but had they, I don't know if they had a 3-man or a 3-headed monster like that or anything close to that, right? 3 guys that you felt like you could trust on the mound in a playoff game, like for sure. Mm.
Long way to go,
but like the 3 of those guys could be that, and like you go to the wild card round or whatever they call it, like 3 games, right? That's like 3 guys that you feel can get you there.
It's also how you avoid big losing streaks during a season. Like one's coming. I know they haven't lost 3 straight games, and this stopped them from losing 3 in a row from the first time this season. But when you get at least every other day, and it's not just one pitcher, it allows you to cut down on losing streaks that can kill you at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, Taillon is such a, extreme in a way, because it was a question coming into the year.
Yeah, it
so
was.
So if that extreme goes in the Cubs' favor, then that could add some wins to their win total. Like, he was a big reason why they won tonight, right? And I'm not gonna bank on, you know, more outings of 7-8 innings from Tyone. However, if he's eating quality innings, you know, keeping you in games.
He did say innings are sexy a couple years ago.
He did say
innings are sexy.
I remember watching that and was like, man, if he's good, we're going to tweet that every single time.
Seven
and then he wasn't good for like
sexy.
3.5 months, so I forgot about it until this moment. Anyway, like, his production is key to this team making the playoffs. It just is. But as far as the rotation, right now, absolutely. But if he's like anywhere close to this as the season goes along, you add in Cade Horton eventually. Maybe this team gets Kyle Hendricks right. Maybe, you know, continue to see Imanaga continue to do what he's doing. And then Jordan Wicks will be back.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Assad keeps doing what he's
doing.
Or
Assad.
Right?
You know, like you got guys. You got guys who've shown who can be effective and go deep into games for you in some aspects, right? Maybe not 7-8 inning outings like tonight for Tyone all the time, but keep you in games, give you a chance to win. They have guys who can do that. So I think the ceiling for this pitching staff is pretty high. The floor is obviously kind of low. We've seen it in some parts of the season already, but I do think that the ceiling is high and they have yet to even touch it. So,
yeah.
You know, this guy keep grinding away. As great as this win is tonight, you know, you still got to keep finding a way to grind out wins because this one was wild.
Speaking of innings for starters, my guy, the stats cruncher, Chris Kampka over at Marquee, says Cubs improved to 11-0 this season when their starter goes at least 5 1/3 innings. Hat tip to our guy, Chris Antanasi. When a guy goes 5 1/3, six innings, push towards seven, you usually feel good about the results.
Yeah, and that's what I looked at it. I think it was the going into that Red Sox series. So after this past series at home, and I had looked at it, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but the rotation at the time going into that Red Sox series had thrown the second fewest innings in baseball among rotations. And obviously, like, Luke Little's opening start.
Yeah, that's
it factors into that. And Imanaga's, like, the rain delay that cost him probably a couple more innings. That all factors into it. But just overall, it was still, like, it was 94, I think. And that was the second fewest in baseball by rotations. And the bullpen had thrown the second most innings among bullpens in baseball. So we just continue to see. And then that stat helps show that if they can just get these guys to continue to go further in games and further in games while being effective, further in games and keeping in the team, keep giving this team a chance to win, just one, that means you're using fewer relievers every game. Those guys are a little bit fresher. Those guys aren't being used as much. So when you are in the close games like these, you can turn to your best guys, your best arms that hope at that point hopefully are a little more rested because of not having to be overused just to cover innings, right? So that's just something we always talk about, and it's something that Craig Counsell talked about, needing to get length from starters heading into the stretch of 16 games in 16 days. So far they've obviously, like, the weekend was a little different, but you know, the last series at home and then now it's a tie on tonight for sure. You've seen these guys go and give some innings. I think Imanaga also went six innings. So in Boston.
Yep.
So you're getting that length that you've been wanting to see, right? You guys have been struggling to get through five, but now you're starting to get six plus, and that's just a really good sign for where they need to go with this rotation and what they need out of this rotation.
That's a good sign. And also in the live YouTube chat, which is the best way to enjoy the CHGO experience, other good signs. Barb is here. Barb is back. Everybody was worried about Barb. We hadn't seen Barb. So the godmother is here. She's doing well. And yes, we are live. And yes, Sarah is back producing Running the Ones and Twos, Barb.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw Charlie the Bacon Guy giving a shout out in there. By the way, tried his French toast rub. Ooh. It hit just right.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
That's good on bacon, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Braggs has jumped over. He can't. It just wasn't enough to talk Bears. He wants to talk little Cubs now. Mm-hmm. Braggs is in.
Friday
he's going to. He'll be there, by the way.
Friday
120 Club. We'll all be there. Ryan will be in the press box. We'll all be there.
Maybe I'll be able to stop by and say hi. I haven't had a chance the last couple of times.
Well, and we're planning a live post-game show some way, some form, some fashion. You'll be part of the post-game show, whether it's joining from the stall in the press box or if you actually, you know, make the walk down.
I'll walk over in my in the Clark the Cub costume.
We do need to find like a sound effect of like a toilet flushing. So like
so
you know like,
I hop in.
Yeah, like you know, live reports they bring in a let's go now to our live reporter. It's like ours should be kawoosh. It does look a little bit. It's just a plain white wall. I know exactly where you're sitting. It's not your fault. It's a little bit like a stall. He's like, come on,
I don't even mean to do
it. It's not your fault.
I don't know what you want me to do.
It's not your fault.
You want me to like carry.
You should have a sign that you put up behind it that says, this is not a bathroom.
Not a bathroom.
Or funnier would be to put the word men's. A sign over your shoulder.
Anyway, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun on Friday.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Friday 120 Club. Meet us out at
2-0 Friday 120 Club. 2-0
Murphy's. Yeah, I'm gonna. If they lose, I'm gonna get blamed.
Yeah, probably.
No, Barb will still blame me. I know
that's true.
That's true.
She still will.
So I mean, obviously Morrell was big. Tyone was big. We'll talk about some of those injury updates coming up in just a bit. But first, want to tell you about our friends at Blue Moon. You know, some beers say they're brewed for baseball, but only Blue Moon is brewed by baseball. Beer and baseball just go together, and no beer goes better than the one that was literally born in a ballpark. Blue Moon was created at Coors Field in Denver. It's the natural choice all season long, and this week's weather will be screaming, hey, buddy, give me a Blue Moon. 70s, dare I say, mid-70s this week. Nothing beats watching baseball or lounging by the pool or sitting in a park, legally, with an ice-cold Blue Moon. Blue Moon was brewed by baseball to give you a dose of nostalgia and get you excited for the new season. A beer this good only comes around once in a blue moon, but you can enjoy it all season long. Bring it to the ballpark with you with Blue Moon Belgian Style Wheat Ale. It's one of a kind every time. Get Blue Moon delivered by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO to see your delivery options. That's get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Blue Moon made brighter. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm looking at game time right now. We just talked about the Friday 120 Club. I just wanted to see, you know, what it looks like. Brewers at Cubs. First time Craig Counsell's managing against his old franchise. It's not in Milwaukee. That may be a little bit different, which we do have some for that game. But the Brewers will be in town. Craig Counsell, obviously, in a separate dugout. And if you're trying to go to Friday's game, whether you want to join the 120 Club or not, you got to use Game Time to get those tickets because you can't find better deals anywhere else for those tickets than Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Sarah's actually got it up right now on the YouTube chat, but if you're listening to the pod, I will just describe to you the fact that every time you click on one of these things, you can actually see the exact view from your seat.
So these tickets are so cheap.
Yeah, they're so cheap. Can't find a better deal anywhere. But you use Game Time.
$12.
You use Game Time to buy these tickets. You can see exactly what your view is going to be before you even get to the ballpark. I think that's my favorite thing about Game Time is the fact that they have that and that you know they show you all the full price with everything, fees and everything right up front. So you never have to worry about just surprise fees that you didn't know about. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time is obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I got my ticket. The bosses bought it, but I got my ticket. They bought it through Game Time.
Absolutely.
It's right here on my phone.
Yeah.
Ready to roll.
Too.
Why would you use anything else?
If I can get up early enough, I'm going to beat Bleacher Jeff to that spot. Just so we have a little friction.
Just a little friction.
I like a little friction. I probably haven't sat in the bleachers since like 2006.
Well, that means I got to get a photo with Luke in the bleachers so you can commemorate the
moment. 2006, 2007, something like that.
What game? Were you at the one where Henry Blanco hit a walk-off?
I don't remember.
Single?
Actually, I got a...
On my 10th birthday?
I remember going because... I wore a jacket. I had like a zip-up windbreaker. I liked the jacket. I forgot it in the bleachers, so I lost the jacket. And I got a spider bite that gave me one of those, like...
Ugh.
I got home, and I was like, what is that?
It's a little
like
big
baseball-size, like, oof, welt on my leg.
What was
spider bite.
What was worse, that or when you got the bird...
Pooped on by the
head,
bird as
yeah.
a kid? Yeah, the pooped on and stung by a bee on my very first game was...
So which one was
ever.
Worse between those two?
The poop and the bee? The pooped on and stung by a bee as a kid is tragic.
That's pretty tough.
But it didn't stop me.
Rays up 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth. Brewers got a guy on second base. Leadoff double by Sal Frelick. But one out, they managed to get Contreras out, who's been their hottest hitter. So two outs away from being in first place. No. For everyone listening back to this, hopefully there's going to be some celebration at the end.
Probably not going to happen now because he mentioned it.
We've done this before. It's not the first time, and it's worked out in our favor before.
I really thought Jesse Rogers was going to jinx us into an extra inning game today.
Vanilla Chill says, and I didn't get turned into a spider with that bite? That sucks. No, that's how I got my 2010
a spider
vision.
Spider-Man.
No, that's
spider
how Luke.
Man.
Yes,
that's
why
how
I didn't
Luke
become Spider-Man, but that is why. Mm-hmm. I have, like, vision. Like,
well, that's how Luke was going to Cubs games in, like, 1893 and still looks like he's 50.
Oh, and it's also how I've won Who You Got and predicted 83 wins last season, predicted the Bellinger signing on the 24th and the 24th hour.
Credit to that spider for
me. The 24th year, it's all due to the spider bite.
Just superior intelligence from Luke Stuckmeyer. Okay,
so do we want to talk about these injury updates?
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the deal. This is from Megan Montemurro. Said, Steele's rehab start is... with Iowa coming up on Wednesday. They'll see what happens after that. Hendricks trending toward a rehab start later this week, but that hasn't been finalized. I'm more excited about Steele.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay if Hendricks takes a little while right now to figure it out. Seiya Suzuki too soon for a rehab start, but he worked out Saturday and Sunday, so he's resting and recovering today, and then he'll begin rehab process again tomorrow. Like, the Steele part is exciting.
Yeah.
Because you figure even if it goes fairly well tomorrow, he either could return to the team or play it safe and go one more rehab start.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be the full month of April.
Yeah. Well, which, like, when he went down, it was... I mean...
At first we were thinking 6 weeks,
pretty bad.
Right?
It was, 6 weeks, right? And then... Even just knowing he wasn't going to pitch the rest of April, you're like, man, like they're really going to need these rotation guys to step up in his place. And for the most part, they have, right? Like we're sitting here, they're seven games over 500. Is that what it is? 18-11. So despite Steele not pitching since opening day, despite Kyle Hendricks not pitching well and them losing, I think it was four of the five starts he made, they've managed to have a pretty good record heading into the end of April, and that's commendable for the rest of the guys that they've managed to keep this team afloat without their best starter going every 5 days. Like, that's huge. And so what it was, rehab start on May 1st. What is that?
Wednesday,
yeah. And then potentially could return after that. Whether it is or he needs another rehab start, like it's close. And the fact that you've kept the ship sailing. And now you're the captain of your rotation, so to speak, is getting closer to return. You would have taken that for sure. Even knowing when he went down on opening day, people would have been happy with that.
Well, when the injury first happened, worst thoughts went through my head. I didn't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a hamstring. I didn't know if it was his knee. I don't know what it was. Even with my spidey senses, I couldn't tell quite.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, like the Cubs do when they get to second base. 83 wins. Sellinger signing on the 24th. 24th hour.
Sure.
Oh, like you don't believe that's true. You know.
Listen, all I know is that, Steele is huge, but the fact that Bellinger might actually come off the IL, on just the 15 days or whatever it is, like, it's defying logic to me.
With a cracked ribs.
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't understand. Like, someone needs to explain to me like I'm 5 years old, yeah. I guess.
I had bruised ribs once, and I thought I was going to die.
We legitimately
fractured a rib, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be a month and a half.
I had ribs.
2 months, if anything.
I had ribs from Sweet Baby Ray's once.
You had Sweet Baby Ray ribs?
Yeah.
That's one of your better jokes right there. Save that. Clip that off.
Thank you. Anyway.
I'm getting there.
By the way, Sweet Baby Ray's is the best barbecue sauce. Okay, go ahead, Cody.
Obviously, Steele's thing, is like him coming back sooner than I think a lot of us thought, is huge.
Yeah.
But again, you know, the pitching staff has found a way to kind of hold up. This offense has really taken a hit without Bellinger and Say in the lineup. They need one of those two back. Like I need oxygen, bro.
But that's why the pitching staff doing what they've done has been so massive, because today is like the prime example of it. They got no hit for 7-plus innings. I think it was going into the eighth inning, and the pitching staff, Jameson Taillon obviously did most of the work, but pitching staff keeps them in the game. Like that's what we keep saying, is just like this is the prime example of why pitching and building the pitching depth was so huge for this team. And so even when the offense takes a hit, losing two of their most important bats, and guys are slumping, and guys, you know, not timely hitting, not always being there, the pitching staff doing what they've done, especially the rotation the last week or so, has been huge and just continuing to help this team pile up wins. It's a lot of guys stepping up and pitching well, and, again, just giving those guys a chance to win. It's huge.
So the hook, my name is Cody, bro. All right?
Corey.
Sorry that I keep saying again, but at least...
name is Cody.
My name is Cody, bro. All right?
My name
Sorry for saying again too much. A lot of people say that I say too much. I've been trying to stop that too.
More importantly, somebody doesn't like barbecue sauce. Who said that? What?
How can you not like barbecue sauce?
Ryan, what's wrong with you? Ryan. I'm sorry, Ryan. I love your name, but no such thing as good barbecue.
Our good friend Gary, talking about the offense, our good friend Gary just said something. I think it was like, or they could call someone up from, or call up real hitters from AAA and send Don Mervis.
Right, the slaughter guy I've been talking about.
Say, yeah, that,
the guy that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Raving about him. Like, you got to see this guy hit.
The first time I've ever heard.
He's a multi-talented infielder with power. He's a utility guy. He'll play anywhere.
We've heard you talk about
Ben Zobrist
for
with massive power.
He's the secret weapon.
We've heard you talk about him for months, and I have not seen anyone as high on him as you.
I wear my Slaughter jersey on Friday. Barb likes Sweet Baby Ray's. Tomorrow's game is Assad versus Manaea. I haven't watched what Manaea was doing, but at one point he was a guy I thought, man, I wish the Cubs had.
That was back when the A's traded him, right?
Yeah, I was always thinking, man, that's a guy the Cubs should go after. And if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't been that great. He hadn't been that great. No, Assad, on the other hand,
his best years were
always.
His best years were definitely with the A's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I remember he threw a no-hitter with the A's. But he was with San Francisco last year.
He was a
not very good.
Last year. San Diego in 2022. The last couple of years haven't been as good for him, obviously. It was 2019, he had a 1.21 ERA. But this year, 1-1, 3.33 ERA over five starts. Hitters have a 2.33 average, a 1.44 whip. He's got 27 strikeouts and 24 and a third innings.
Right.
But also 14 walks in that time. So, not a guy that you look at it and feel like is going to shut down the Cubs lineup again. Like a guy you probably feel a little bit better about the Cubs going in and being able to get a hit before the eighth inning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we're going to get the same type of pitching performance that Severino gave the Mets tonight. Now that I said that, he probably will, but, you know. I feel pretty good going into tomorrow with this momentum.
Yeah, no, it is. And momentum isn't always, like, I think in some ways it can be overplayed.
Sure.
But flipping this, going into a game that you probably feel better about the pitching matchup.
Yeah.
Is real. I think it is real. And so, yeah, to have come back, won this game, and now you're one win away from winning the series with two games to play, that's where that momentum shift is real to me. And, again, yeah, a guy that you're not as intimidated by and feel like this team could actually do some damage against.
Sure.
Look at this olive branch. Gary's offering that I come sit with him and the family when Slaughter gets called up. I'll have his.
You'll be treated like royalty. Also,
Brewers just lost. Cubs are officially in first place. I didn't jinx it. Credit to me.
Will they ever be out of first place again this season?
I sure as hell hope
not. Is today the day we mark it? Morrell slammed them into first.
Slugged them into first. I was expecting a little bit more of a reaction, like a little louder. I thought you were going to yell.
I mean, if it was maybe, June, you see, something like
act
that.
Like you've been there before.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe
act like you've been there before.
Brewers fans still treat game 163 like it's the World Series, and that was like 5 years ago. No, 6 years ago.
I don't like to pile on but. Wisconsin fans knowing that the Bears have a better quarterback now and are the pride of the division and all that stuff.
I was thinking Garrett Johnson just read my mind that maybe a second beer bet for that.
Oh, for first place.
I'm not feeling it tonight.
No, not today.
It's April.
The reason I did two a few post-game shows ago was because I did not live up to what I consider a quality chug.
Oh, is that when you dropped it all over your face?
Yeah, I didn't even spit it up like Luke tried to perceive
to
people. I tilted
it back.
It
created a tidal wave and it sort of splashed and it was all over his shirt and then it was dripping down his chin.
Right. So then I did another one before the end of the show and I redeemed myself a little bit. Tonight, I'm just gonna go troll on the internet after the show.
Hey, if somebody out there wants to, you know, record their beer bat chug
and tweet it to us
at CHGO Cubs, we'll show it.
For sure.
We'll show it as long as it's Blue Moon. We don't want some sort of swill beer, you know.
You know what I haven't talked about yet?
What?
Nick Madrigal putting the ball in play.
Bush getting the walk.
Can we talk about how Madrigal put the ball in play and he can't force guys to do certain things when he hits the ball. However, let's just accept the fact that the third baseman should have thrown home.
That's
a break for sure.
Probably had a better shot getting him at home than he did to turn the double play because of the slow roll. What was it, like 49 miles per hour exit velo, something like that? It was obviously a broken bat, right? Like
he didn't hit it very hard.
Handle was left in his hand after the
swing. Didn't hit it hard, so I feel like the automatic play there is to go home when it was with a guy on third base in less than two outs. But listen, man, like,
well, in this
decisions like that in a 1-0 game that can sway a team winning or not, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's what we always talk about, just putting the ball in play and trying to make some magic happen. That, you know, man, he's like, and I think that's what I love about baseball just in general, is just guys hit the ball, you have the perfect swing, you know, great, you know, exit velo, launch angle, you get the barrel on the ball, all that, and it might just go right at someone, and then you broken bat ground ball to the third baseline, like whatever it was, 50 mile per hour exit velo or whatever, and you get on base, you get a run in. Like that's just the stupidity of baseball that kind of stuff happens. But like it obviously worked out great for the Cubs today, as it didn't work out so great for them yesterday in Boston. But that's just the kind of breaks you need sometimes.
But I know there were people certainly on Twitter that when he came in the game were saying, why Madrigal here? Right? And
I didn't hate it.
I don't
want to
give him,
I
don't want
to
give him, I don't want to give him too much credit for a bat broken off in his hand that ended up not being a double play or an out at home, but he did put it in play. Who would you have liked? Is there somebody else you would have liked in that situation? We kind of all talked about it. We're like, well, who do you bring in here if it's not Madrigal?
Yeah, I think that's the point is that you need the ball in play. Yeah. Like
now, if Slaughter were on the roster.
Lefty on the mound, perhaps you go to Wisdom or Canario.
Maybe.
Right? I just feel like
a strikeout for hurts, too.
Right, exactly. Because, again, with one out, if it was zero outs, I think you can risk it with one of those guys.
Yeah.
But I think considering who's on the mound and how he was throwing, you got to go with a guy whose contact rate is pretty high, has been pretty high over the course of his career. And as much as I've sat here and yelled and complained about Madrigal, the one thing that he does that is beneficial to the Cubs or to a team in general is the fact that he will put the ball in play more often than not. And in that moment, he did, and thank God the guy didn't throw it home.
It was still Severino on the mound. Oh, wait, you said,
said Severino was on the mound.
I thought you said lefty on the mound, but I think you said if there was a lefty.
Yeah, if there was a lefty, you know.
No, if there was, yeah. But, no, I agree with you guys that, like, if you're going to have him on the roster, this is why he's on the roster, to put the ball in play. And it doesn't always work out. We've seen it, like, grounding into a double play with guys on first and third and one out, right? Like, it's happened, but his role right now as a bench bat, sometimes defensive replacement, whatever, you're putting him in there to get the ball, to get the bat on the ball and put it in play and see what you could do with that. And it worked out today. It doesn't always work out, but that is why he's on this team right now, or at least that's what his role is on this team right now, is to be able to do that. We know he's got really good bat to ball skills. That's what he excels at, what he succeeds at. And even if it doesn't turn into a hit, that's what he does. And so in that instance, it made sense to go with Madrigal.
I mean, it was little things that led to an unlikely comeback, right? You had a walk, you had a broken bat, you had Dansby's kind of flare hit. You had a lot of different things going. And then obviously the Morel home run was
crushed.
That was 97 left over the plate. Yeah. You deserve that.
Yeah.
But all the things that happened leading up to that point were harmless by themselves, but when you added them all together, it gave you an opportunity.
And one thing, I feel like I need to give a lot of credit to Swanson, too, for putting the ball in play. I mean, he's been getting a lot of
Sarah.
Like Sarah hops in.
Yeah. No one loves Swanson more than Sarah. He's been getting a lot of slander, a lot of people talking about how much money he makes and all this, which is wild to me considering people talk about the Cubs not spending enough money. But whatever. The fact of the matter is he got the hit. He got the first hit of the game. They were getting no hit in the eighth inning, man. Like, he got a hit when the Cubs needed it. He got the leadoff walk, and then Swanson comes up and finds a way to put the ball in play. Broken bat, whatever. We've talked about it before, and for our own reasons on, you know, frustration and all of this when things don't go the Cubs' way, right? When you put the ball in play, good things can happen. And no matter if it's hit 49 miles per hour like Madrigal to drive in that run, or hit 105 miles per hour or whatever it was by Morel, it's all, in some aspects, it's all the same, because if you put the ball in play, you're forcing the defense to have to make a play, right? And Swanson, again, late in the game, they needed him to do something, and he did. And then that led to Madrigal driving in Bush. So I think, to me, it was a total team effort outside of Tyone, you know, getting the, you know, going deep in the game and all that, but it's the little things like that that honestly people don't think about or want to give credit to or whatever, you know, as the season goes along. Like, I understand the offense has been struggling. I understand that no one likes the lineups right now. But at the same time, what can you do with all these injuries when your two best offensive players are hurt? You know, like, you have to find a way to win games one way or another. And that's honestly all I'm trying to say, is that you need guys like Swanson, you need guys like Morel to find a way to be productive. And tonight, I wish they didn't wait till the eighth and ninth inning to do it, but they did it, and Tyone kept them in the game. There's
two of those three guys I just said, one, some of the highest paid players on the team. So, you know, tomorrow when Swanson starts the game with two strikeouts and someone tweets at me, Swanson sucks. I guess we forgot about the homer he hit to win the game against the Astros last week, and I guess we're going to forget about the hit to break the no-hitter tonight too. But no, like, I'm just saying that these little things like that matter.
Yeah.
They really do. So yeah. Well, think
Matthew
about
Gregory
that.
Says Madrigal feels like he's getting too much credit here. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but we're all trying to be nice tonight.
No, I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and you don't give him the credit, but this is what he's put in the game to do.
Yeah. I still haven't changed my stance on Madrigal. All I'm saying is that tonight he did what the Cubs needed him to do, and that's all I can ask from someone when I'm sitting on my couch. All right?
Real quick, before we get to who he got, did Neris make you nervous?
For like 5 minutes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Yeah. I don't want to walk two guys in the ninth.
But those strikeouts were huge, though. And that was something that people have talked about. You know, his whiff rate's around the same as Adbert, right? So, you know, to see him get those strikeouts in the big moment is huge. That doesn't mean that I am not ignoring the walks or anything. But when you strike guys out, you avoid chaos.
Yeah.
And he did that in a big moment. I think the one thing that he has over the rest of the entire bullpen is experience. He's been there. Been in the postseason. Been in the World Series. He's got the experience. I know it's a roller coaster with him because he's been walking too many dudes. But tonight, he came through when you needed him to come through at the end of the day. So I'm gonna lay off my nervousness with him for a night. He needs to not walk any more people if he's gonna be that guy, which I know he won't be by the end of the year. But
came through compared to the Mets' $100 million closer who gave up
a
loss.
That's true.
It would have been painful to come back
after last night. Ugh.
And then have the game and then lose it.
Yeah.
After having a stolen one a win there. But anyways.
And the other thing is lighter. Bouncing back from yesterday.
Yeah.
Couple, you know, nothing crazy, nothing too special, but comes back and gets, what, two outs? No walks, no hits, like nothing. Just got him out of that inning when they went to him instead of Tyone.
I think one of those balls would have left the park if it was at Wrigley.
Yeah. Was that the flyout?
The flyout.
The one flyout. Yeah. Only ballpark, Wrigley Field.
Nimmo. Yeah, Nimmo had that.
Yeah,
one.
Nimmo. Yeah.
Only
yeah.
at Wrigley, it would have been a home run, but anyway.
Would have left all, but it would have left one park out of the entire league, and it was Wrigley Field. So, you know, again, like, that's kind of like the baseball gods giving back, because last night against the Red Sox, Swanson hit one down the right or the the right field line.
Yeah.
And it would have left 28 of 30 ballparks. Instead, it was a great catch by whoever's playing right field for them, and the Cubs don't get a run, you know? So, yeah. Baseball gods giveth, baseball gods taketh.
Well, then the
baseball
gods
is stupid. I love it and I hate it. When the Cubs win, I love it. When they lose, I want to just drink bleach. Yeah.
The Cubs stole a win from the Mets tonight, and Cody stole a who you got win from me.
Yep.
Because he had Morel. That was really the high point of his night. Stealing who you got. I had Talkman sacrificing his body and blood, being hit by a pitch, and then a double, which at that time was like, well, it was the only extra base hit at the time. And so I thought I had it.
I thought you did too.
Then Morel takes it deep, and he steals one. So now,
off one of the best closers in the game.
Updated standings. I fall to 9-15. Corey falls to 5-20. Cody improves to 9-17. Ryan falls to 3-22.
Yeah, I still got to go.
Brendan, where is your appeal?
I said I have to go through it. You think I was going to have enough time to go through all 20 whatever
games? Luke did it in 5 innings.
Yeah, in a 3-hour game, not 2.
And I did it wearing readers.
I only had 2 hours to get it. No
Despite
way I could
have
gotten
the fact
it done
I have
today.
Special vision.
Yeah. No, I really thought Ryan was going to sit over there and look them all up tonight.
I did too.
I wouldn't have been able to finish them.
He's going
to
do
so
it tonight.
Locked
when
into
he
the
gets
game.
Home.
He forgot to eat dinner for a while. All of a sudden he was like, I better eat. It's 9. I'm like, it's close to game time.
Darren Johnson super chat, $9.99. Cubs stole that one. First place, baby. Better record than the Dodgers. How about those Cubbies? Great show, Jones.
There you go.
Yep, better record than everybody in the division.
We've seen you in here before, brother. I appreciate your support.
first in the division and a list of injuries that goes on and on and on and on.
I'm getting so much hate right now because of you guys. Just fudging the numbers on the record.
Godfather says Ryan has a record like the White Sox.
Everyone is saying that right now.
Wow, that's harsh.
Actually, the White Sox have a better record than I do, apparently.
Are you going to ask us for a ballpark again or not? Oh, no.
This is...
slanderous.
This, yeah, this is slanderous. This is libelous. Mm. This is defamation. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to find like at least three more wins. Stop the steal is what I got to say.
Stop the count?
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal. They're stealing the who you got.
Oh, boy. Please, let's not go.
Well, again, you have to go back and count them all.
I will. I promise you.
That's what you have to
do. And print it out.
Yes. Well, you don't necessarily have
in
to print it out.
In big font.
In big font?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In big
yeah.
font.
In large
so
Ryan, font.
So Luke can read it.
And highlight the winner, please. Different color for each person.
Yeah. Carter Hawkins says Selena isn't dating a 3-22 Ryan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and this is like you would think these guys would be trying to help me and not stealing wins from me, but guess not. I guess I'm on my own when it comes to Selena Gomez.
Anyway, tomorrow, go for two in a row.
Yeah.
Who's going? Man on the mound, right?
The ass man.
Am I right?
Assad shoveth against Minaya.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. And he shoved against the Astros last week.
It's a winnable
game. Really
showed
me something. We'll see what he can do on the road in New York. I'm excited. Like I said this in the chat for Corey and Brennan show. Like, I like this team. This team has grit. Do I love them? Not yet. But are we on our way? Yes. Because winning games like tonight, you do more of that. And also win games that, you know, doesn't make my heart almost come out of my chest. It's going to lead me down to a lot of delusional thoughts about October. But 18-11, all things considered, no Steele, no Belly, no Saya, no Merriweather, no Wicks now. I'm probably missing another name. They need to bubble wrap the entire team. Again, 18-11.
In first place.
In first place.
Heading into May, not quite.
We might be.
Not yet.
We might be the best team in the city, people are saying. We might be. Not saying we are. We might be.
Barb's going out for Greek Easter tomorrow, but hopefully should be done, wrapped up by the time we do the postgame show. We'll hopefully. Be here live okay. for an hour afterwards, okay. Barb. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast. We'll be back here, like I said, an hour tomorrow. Join us then. No pregame show, but the vibes will be with us. Until then, hell fly yeah, the brother. W. Y'all silly like the mayor.